It is always good to know and have reasons for coming out to worship God. Even knowing that He is your all in all, it is always good to be able to look back and see yesterday and today how He's blessing and keeping you. If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, to the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And as you go down in the fourth chapter, I want you to stop at verse number 12. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse number 12. And we're going to park there for a while this morning, but we're going to spend some time in this book, the fourth chapter of Ephesians. But I want to this morning emphasize something to you, and then we're going to go from there. This morning I want to talk for a brief moment on the responsibility of the body of Christ. The responsibility of the body of Christ. But we're going to look at a lot more in this chapter that Paul has presented to us, but I felt this is a good place to start. In verse number 12, Ephesians 4:12, it reads this way in the NIV: to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we just thank you afresh and anew for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the indwelling of your Spirit. And this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, I pray in the name of your Son that you, through your Holy Spirit, would speak to us, would teach us, that we may learn and have knowledge of you, and that this body may be edified also from the study of your word. This I ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, and the 18th verse, Matthew 16, 18, Jesus makes a statement, and he says, upon this rock I will build my church. In essence, what he has said is that his life, his death, and his resurrection will be the foundation for this new entity that he calls the church. In the body, then he uses a terminology that we find in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 23, as well as in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 27, he uses the term the body of Christ. And he says to us, and he wants us to understand, that the church, this foundational organization that he has brought about, another terminology or another term that we can use is that this church is the body of Christ. And that it was faithfully founded on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, if we understand that believers, saints, are part of the body of Christ, we understand that we have a capacity that can be contained. In essence, when you look at a half-gallon bottle of milk, you understand that it is milk poured into a half-gallon capacity container, and it holds no more than that. But God wants us to know that our capacity in Him has no boundaries. In essence, that our intellectual, emotional, and spiritual capacity in him has the potential to grow outside of any type of containment as we trust and put our trust in him. And so as we look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the 12th verse, I think we need to back up to verse number 11 so that we're looking at this in total context of what Paul wants us to understand in these small verses here. And he says to us in verse 11, it was him who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastor teachers. In essence, what we need to understand here is that Jesus decided that he needed to gift individuals that could then teach and instruct the body of Christ on what he has called them to do. Before we go there, I think there's some things that we need to understand as we walk along here, because Paul says to us in verse 1 is that we are to, and to be very careful that what he, how he presents, he urges us, he beseeches us, he asks us that we, you should walk worthy of the calling you have received. In essence, what Paul is saying to us is that the grace that we have received from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are to walk worthy of the grace that has been given us. In this book, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote it in about 62 AD while he was under house arrest in Rome. He wrote it to a church called Ephesus, which was a port city in Asia Minor. What Paul attempts to do in the early verses of this chapter is to remind the Gentile believers of the privilege and the status that they enjoy as believers in Christ, and to remember that they are part of the church and that they are part of the body of Christ. One of the things that I believe that we need to do is to make sure that we are doing the same thing that Paul is outlining here to the Gentile believers in Ephesus, is that we must make sure that as we walk day to day, as we interact on a day to day basis, that we are reminding ourselves consistently that we are not of this world, but that we are part of Christ's body, and so that we are to respond differently than the world. As you look into verse number 2 of this same chapter, he says that you need to be completely humble. He doesn't say try to be humble, but he says that you are to be completely humble, that you are to be gentle, and that you are to be patient, and that you are to bear one another in love. In essence, that your motivation day to day is supposed to be a motivation that as you interact with other believers, when you interact within the church community, that you're interacting from a emotional and from a motivation of love. That with this motivation of love, that you are also making sure that you are living a humble life, that you are living a gentle life, and that you are practicing patience with each other. Then we need to also understand as we look here is that every believer is responsible to live as servants of Jesus Christ. In essence, your life is no longer your own, and that you are now a servant of the Lord, and that you have to make sure that you are living on a day-to-day basis out of your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and in verses 1 and 2, he reminds us that we are supposed to be imitators of God, that our lives are supposed to be in line where when people look at us, they can see godly conduct in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Also, he wants us to understand that to live out of our faith is light of our redemption unveiled to us by God. And that God has given us an unlimited capacity. And I want you to understand this point of unlimited capacity to know and to experience him through his grace. Also, that he wants us to understand that God is present in our situations. And as we, a few moments ago, dealt with prayer requests, as we dealt with the point of situations and circumstances that we're going through, God wants you to understand that he is there in every situation and every circumstance that we go through. And that if we will trust him, if we will allow him to give leadership in our lives, that he will bring peace into our lives, he will bring healing into our lives, he will bring joy into our lives, and he will bring comfort in every situation and every circumstance that we go through. When we look at verse 11, God gives men gifts for the body. He gives men gifts for the body so that we can do works of service. And God makes very clear, and Paul makes very clear to us, because he outlines some of the gifts that we need to acknowledge that are here to help us to serve him as he would have us to serve him. First, he talks about the point of being apostles. Apostles are those that proclaim the word of God, and in this society or in this culture, we're more so looking at missionaries, because apostles did not plant themselves in the church, but their goal was to spread the word of God across the nations. And what we need to understand is that their gifts are to be a blessing to us, but there is to be a blessing to the total body of Christ. The one gift that you find, that you will find that comes into place at Emmanuel and at other churches in this city, is the point of the gift of the pastor teacher, who is the one that is planted at a location to help individuals to understand what their gifts are and how their gifts are to be used to glorify God, to honor God, and to build the body of the church. Now, it is critical for you to understand the nature and calling of each of these individuals, because they are called to be effective in the church and to be effective in the life of every member of the body. In essence, so these men are called to have an effect on the church, but also to have an effect on every life in the church. They're called to bear witness of God's grace in this world. One of the things that you deal with this gift of being a pastor teacher is that that is the gift that comes from God. But along with that, God gives you other gifts that you have to kind of learn how to work within being a pastor teacher, as well as the other gifts that he gives you. One of the gifts that God has given me is he's given me the gift of discernment. So I can sit with people, and as they talk to me, a lot of times the Holy Spirit will speak to me and tell me they're lying to you. And you would not believe the number of times I've been in counseling situations and people have sat before me and just boldly lied to me. But that is just one of the gifts that God brings to the body. There are gifts that we will talk about as we go through this, and as we go through this, I'm going to provide information to you that you can take home to understand the gifts that God has given you. But some of you sitting right here have the gifts of hospitality. You just like to cook food for people. You just like to see people eat. You like to do things for people because that's just a gift that God has given you. Some of you sitting here today have the gift of giving, and you just like giving of yourself. And it's not always monetary, but you're that person that don't mind going to somebody's house and helping them to clean, not because their house is dirty, because that's a gift that God has given you. Some have the gifts of administration, and they know they never went to a business school or whatever, but God has given them that gift. Some of you have the gift of evangelism, where God has given you that gift, and those that he has blessed are there to teach you how to use that gift within the body, that we may be blessed. You know, it's interesting because I remember early on in my ministry that we would go out and we would witness, and we would do evangelism, and there was one person in our group that every time they talked to somebody, they came to know the Lord. And I used to wonder, I used to stand there and look and say, she's saying the same things that I'm saying. You know, she's a woman, but you know, I don't see anything different in how she's approaching it. But she had a gift that God has given her, that it, when she presented the gospel to someone, they would receive what she has said differently than they received what I said. So I want you to understand that God has blessed the body of Christ. He has blessed Emmanuel Chapel with individuals in this church that has those gifts. So when we look again at Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the 12th verse, it says to prepare God's people. In this verse, there are three phases or functions or roles that Christ specifically gives. He says one phase is to prepare God's people. The second phase is the work to do the works of service. And then thirdly, that we will be built up. Now, as we understand verse 11, that God has gifted men himself. God has done it. He has bestowed upon men that he has chosen and equipped them to build his church. In verse number 7, he says that he has given grace for service. In verse number 16, he says grace for building the body. So this is all part of God's plan, and we need to understand his purpose for our service to him in the body of Christ. One of the main ideas of this area of this verse is that we are perfected to do the work of the ministry and for edifying the body of Christ, to prepare God's people. That is what we are to be about, preparing God's people, training them, instructing them in the word to make ready for his return. This perfection can also be utilized in the term that we transform individuals. We work in their lives as God transformed them, that God will transform them through his spirit. one of those areas that we need to understand is that we need to be instructed in the way we are to live. We need to be instructed in the way we are to function in life. We need to be instructed in the way we are to perform tasks. In essence, like when you go into 2 Corinthians and when you go into Ephesians, it instructs you in how you are to live as a married couple. As you look also in Ephesians, it helps you to understand how you're to live as a single individual. And we need to be instructed on how we are to live. We are to be made ready to serve within the body of Christ. Then he says, for works of service. He wants you to understand that every one of God's people has a vital role to play in the body. I know we talk about the body and we look at our body and we say that there is, you know, all of the organs and all of the apertures of our body all work together. And what God wants us to understand that as believers, as saints, that we have a part in this total body of Christ, and the part that he has blessed us with, the part that he has gifted us in, is to work for the betterment of the total body and to bring glory and honor to him and to glorify him in what we do. In essence, what God wants us to understand is that we have an assignment in the body. We have a function in the body. We are to utilize our spiritual gifts for his purpose. Romans 12, 11, Galatians 5, 13, and Romans 14, 18. There are three basic gifts that have a whole outline of gifts that fall under each one of those titles, and we have those gifts that are ministering gifts, we have those gifts that are serving gifts, and we have those gifts that are sign gifts that God has called his people to understand that he has blessed them with, and he expects them to be utilized to his glory. And when we go to verse number 13, he says that these gifts are supposed to be used to build up his church, to build up his body. And then he comes back and he says that in this body there must be unity. Everyone in the body must be working for the same purpose. We must all be on the same accord. There must be unity. There must be no fractions. There must be no infighting. There must be complete submission to God in faith and the knowledge of his Son and our Savior. In essence, what God wants us to understand is that he expects us through the process of being taught what our gifts are, to being taught what we're supposed to be about doing, that we would become unified in doing his will, as well as that we will mature through this process. And through this process of maturity, that we will attain to the whole measure of the faithfulness of God. In essence, God is looking for you to, but because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his how he has blessed you, he's looking for you to submit, to utilize your gifts within the body, to be a blessing first to God, to be a blessing second to his congregation, to his body, and that your part in the body will be done in a manner that is unifying to the body, that will be done out of love, and through the whole process, you will mature. In essence, that it won't be a time of you just doing something, but through you utilizing your gifts within the body, you're going to mature in your relationship with God. You're going to be part of the whole process of the church doing the body of Christ, doing what he has called them to do, called us to do. And because of that, we're going to walk in the fullness of our relationship with God. One of the things that is important is that as we understand that God has gifted men to prepare us for doing the works of service, that we need to come to understand what those works of services are. We need to be unified in doing what God has called us to do as his body, because through that process we will mature. We will have an impact on those outside of this church. We will have impact on the world. We will have impact on those in this community. We will have an impact where those that don't know the Lord in the pardon of their sins will see the unity within the body. They will see the what gifts are being utilized in the body, and that will be a drawing card for them to want to be a part of this miraculous relationship that we have with God, of him calling us into salvation, redeeming us and reconciling us, and we need to make sure that we are doing what he has called us to do. We will spend more time in this area in the coming weeks. Let's bow. Father, as you prepare us to understand the gifts that we have, how you have gifted us, and how we are to use those gifts within the body, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of each and every individual here, to have them to understand the criticalness of them coming to understand the gifts that they have, the gifts that you have bestowed upon them through your Spirit, and how they are to be used within the body. For in using their gifts, you will be glorified, you will be honored. You will add to the body such as you would have to add to the body. We will be in unity, and we will mature as we seek to serve you with our full heart and to do the works you've called us to do. So, Lord, I ask that you would bless our time this morning, and that you would speak to each and every one of your children, giving them understanding far beyond what we have talked about this morning, that they may prepare their hearts, they may prepare their lives to serve you out of their giftedness for the works you have called them to, that your church and your church alone will be built up. This we ask in your son's name and for his sake. Amen.